Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up. The Daily Sun Up podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Monday, April 22nd. Today, Sun Outdoors reporter Jason Blevins breaks down his recent conversation with the head of one of the ski industry's biggest players, Jared Smith of Alterra Mountain Company. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Pinnacle Assurance, Colorado's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Pinnacle provides caring protection that Colorado businesses can rely on as they expand across the country. From finance to robotics and Arizona to Orlando, Pinnacle's nationwide coverage goes wherever Colorado businesses grow. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1896, the federal government purchased a site on Colfax Avenue in Denver for $60,000 to build a branch of the U.S. Mint. The facility, now joined by operations in San Francisco and Philadelphia, remains active. Originally, in the 1860s, Clark Gruber & Company used the site to turn gold from the Pike's Peak Rush into legally mandated coins before selling its equipment to the government in 1863. Mining downturns in 1864 diminished local coinage support. However, in 1905, recognizing the need for expanded operations, the government erected a new mint from Colorado stone, opening it in 1906 with extensive gold reserves and monthly bullion shipments. This mint, having grown to occupy a full city block and witnessed both historic spectacles and criminal attacks, continues to produce coins and attract tourists today, marked by the D on each coin. Before we continue, Next 50's vision is a world that values aging. By 2034, older adults will outnumber children for the first time ever. Next 50 funds innovative programs that combat age bias, advance digital equity, and make it possible to age where you want to live. Explore more at next50foundation.org. Now our feature story.
Hey, thanks for joining us today, everyone. I'm David Krause, one of the editors here at the Colorado Sun, and it's a Monday Sun Up session with my good friend and Sun Outdoors reporter, Jason Blevins. Hey there, Jason Blevins.
Hey there, David Krause.
Hey, you are out roaming the Western U.S. this week, last week, doing some symposiums and stuff, and recently you hosted a panel discussion in Tahoe for the Mountain Travel Symposium. About 800 or so people there. You had a really interesting sit down with Jared Smith, the boss at Alterra Mountain. Jason, let's talk about some of that conversation. Stories coming out this week, but Jared's got a really interesting background. He came from Ticketmaster, not the ski industry. What's that like? What's that been like for him?
Yeah, you know, we typically see these bosses kind of rise up through the ranks of skiing, right? That's typically been the path. Men and women who have spent their lives at ski resorts are typically the ones that sort of move into that corner office. And Jared has spent 17 plus years as at Ticketmaster, one of the largest e-commerce platforms in the world. He was the global chairman of Ticketmaster there in 2020, which was obviously a very rough year for companies that were selling tickets to big events. And then he landed at Alterra Mountain Co. in 2021. He's really shepherded that company through its growth period here as it sort of expands and vies with Vail Resorts. You know, it's sort of major competitor over on the other side of the spectrum there. You know, it's interesting to see. There's a lot, yeah, obviously, Ticketmaster is very technologically advanced, very used to dealing with electronic sales of products. And that's, you know, Jared is you know, finding his footing in the ski industry and kind of discovering the lack of technological advancement in the ski industry. You know, he had a number of interesting comparisons. You know, one is the passion of the users. You know, at Ticketmaster, you got your sports teams and your bands. You know, skiing, you got your mountains. He says he tells his team all the time there are two products in the world that he's aware of that a P people refer to in the possessive, you know, it is my mountain and it's my sports team sort of thing. So he's got that, you know, interesting perspective as someone who deals with a lot of passionate users. And also just the challenge of the complexity of a sale that you do online. You know, it's interesting to see him see, you know, you sell a ticket, quick, simple, you know, deal, you know, skiing, sell a vacation. Most of that has to be done over the phone. It's people, you know, that need a certain size of boot, size of ski, you know, lessons, a very complex deal. He calls it one of the most complex deals you could imagine for an e-commerce problem. But it's interesting to see him, you know, bring this sort of fresh perspective and this technological kind of, you know, savvy from Ticketmaster into the ski world, which is, you know, decidedly anti-tech. You know, obviously, if you still go to some of your ski areas, they're punching holes in wicker tickets. So there's a lot of room for technological improvement in the ski industry. And I think that's something that Jared's really shepherding over there at Alterra Mountain Go.
Jason, I thought one of the interesting stats, and I'm not sure how to see this, right? You mentioned it, 60% of the business is still done by the phone. Are we surprised that it's still 60%? Are we surprised that 40% has gone online?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. But, you know, it's like, you know, and I asked him that when he said that. He's like, 60% of people that are non-pass, non-Icon Pass users that visit all of Alterra's resorts, 60% book over the phone. And he's like, when's the last time you bought anything over the phone? I'm like, I don't even know. And, you know, he's saying, you know, it's such a challenge. You know, there's legal issues. You know, you got to sign a waiver. So you have to book these different activities, you know, and maybe if you're new to the sport, you're not super familiar with what you need. You know, what size ski do you need? Really complex gig. And, you know, I think that's part of one of the challenges, and he's installed a new program that every one of Alterra's resorts has to come up with kind of this package for newcomers, to where maybe it's a concierge type thing, maybe it's a all-in package, but every resort needs to come up with an idea for getting more newcomers into the sport. And that's truly one of the biggest challenges in this industry, is getting these newcomers, you know, first timers committed. You know, obviously we know skiing, and you know, we love to ski, and it's an easy, you know, prospect for us, but for, you know, a family of four that's booking a trip, obviously an incredible amount of money, and then highly complex, and then challenging when it happens, when you get on the ground. So, you know, Jared is hoping to find ways to really streamline and sort of smooth that process and be a little more welcoming, you know, and smooth some of the moguls that face some of the new skiers when they're trying to slide into skiing.
Jason, you know, I got to think a big question for most of our listeners is Alterra's purchase of the Legend Arapahoe Basin earlier this season. What do you think is next? What did you guys talk about as far as that acquisition goes for A Basin?
Yeah, you know, I wanted him to riff a little bit on where he saw the value there at A Basin, you know, and I mentioned it was pretty interesting. As I said, you know, there's a lot of concern in Summit County that Arapahoe Basin had just been sold to a corporate interest, you know, a large corporate company. And he said, well, let's remember the past 20 years, A Basin has been owned by a publicly traded real estate investment trust out of Canada, Dream Limited. So it's not like it's, you know, a family is selling it, but you know, it's a great example of, it's not the ownership, it's the operator, it's the approach. And Jared had, you know, great things to say about Alan Hensroth, the longtime boss over there at Arapahoe Basin, who's, you know, sort of has shepherded the growth and expansion of Arapahoe Basin while doing a yeoman's job of protecting a very unique and a powerful vibe there and culture there. That is fiercely independent. You know, A Basin spent almost 20 years with Vail Resorts on the Epic Pass, and then they went to the Icon Pass, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this deal, which is still It hasn't been finalized. They haven't closed on the deal, but you know, there's it's going to be interesting to watch how Altera shepherds A Basin. And I think, you know, watching them work at Winter Park, watching them work at Steamboat, they're just going to give Allen, let Allen do what Allen does. And Allen has done it for, you know, decades, run Arapahoe Basin. So I would not expect much change there. We just heard a couple weeks ago that A Basin will start charging to park. I think that is a trend that we will see across the ski industry as resorts grapple with not crowding on the hill, but crowding in the town with cars. I've said this before, but most of the time you hear people talking about crowding in a ski area, it has to do with traffic and cars more than maybe people on a slope. But, you know, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, Arapahoe Basin's going to be charging for parking. And he said, I read that in the paper like you, Jason. You know, that's a decision by Allen, not us. So I'd imagine we will see not much difference happening, you know, and Jared was saying how Arapahoe Basin fits into its, you know, Colorado scene. They got Winter Park, they got Steamboat, you know, Arapahoe Basin sort of serves that maybe Palisades Tahoe vibe for, you know, steep and big mountain skiing that sort of fits into their California portfolio. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I would not expect very many changes. Truthfully, that seems to be their MO, is kind of letting the bosses on the ground run the show.
All right, let's wrap it up with this. You've got the big boss at one of the two mega players in the ski industry at Altera. What did you guys talk about, you know, the strategy of Altera versus how Vail Resorts is doing things, publicly traded company Vail Resorts? What's the big difference between those two? What did you guys talk about there?
Well, you know, it's important to say that, you know, Vail Resorts forged this multi-mountain pass model, which has really redefined the industry and, you know, really showed Wall Street the value of this company. It's ironed out some of the seasonality, making, you know, 60% of the revenue that the company makes is in the summer, you know, before when it's selling Epic Passes, before the lifts close, before the lifts even start running. So there's, you know, that's a model that's really changed the industry. And it's a model that Altera Mountain Co. is obviously following with its Icon Pass, multi-mountain pass, a bunch of partners, you know, great deal for a season pass price, still priced, you know, below what it was 20 years ago. But very different operating models. Like I've mentioned earlier, Altera is very decentralized. The people on the ground at all its resorts are running the show. There's nothing is necessarily filtered through Altera's, you know, operation in Denver. Whereas Vail Resorts, everything is filtered through Broomfield. They have a highly centralized operation, scale of efficiencies, and that's, you know, a completely understandable model for a large company. You know, they sort of route everything. One HR department, one, you know, marketing department, sort of everything kind of filters through this larger operation in Broomfield. And that's a very different model. And it's something that, whereas maybe Vail Resorts showed the industry, you know, a way to kind of, you know, make a lot of money during year-round money, iron out the seasonality, the dependence on snow, shift a little responsibility over to skiers when they buy a pass early. But Altera is diverging off that path a little bit with a highly decentralized operation that really pushes all the decisions down, Jared was saying, to the local level, right there, you know, as close to the guests and the employees as it could get. So that's been, you know, it's an interesting thing to watch. We've watched Vail Resorts now as a publicly traded company for nearly 20 years. We have a lot of data on that company, know how it's doing. You know, years of annual reports and financials, whereas Altera, we don't know anything about. So, you know, it's a privately held company, everything's private. We don't know how many passes it's selling. So it's interesting. I imagine we will see, and I asked Jared this, we will see Altera eventually go public. And when that happens, we will have real side-by-side comparisons to be able to see, you know, which is the most financially healthy way to run a company in Wall Street terms. But right now, the way Altera is growing, the way Altera is expanding, the way Altera is kind of moving and navigating and finding its way privately held, and it's, you know, really decentralized and allowing, you know, those resort operators on the ground to make their decisions, which allows somebody with, you know, experience like Ticketmaster to kind of, you know, maneuver and make changes at a very high level without, you know, necessarily the operating type of experience that most people have. So pretty interesting, you know, time to be watching the ski industry, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I just love to see how things change year to year and how these two big players are going at it. And of course, you're always right in the mix of it. So appreciate that and appreciate the time today, buddy. If you haven't, you can read more about Colorado Outdoors at coloradosun.com. You can also sign up for Jason's weekly Outsider newsletter. Comes out every Thursday. You can check that out at coloradosun.com/outsider. And also, when you have a minute, get the Sun up, a review on your favorite listening app. We appreciate all the love you can give us. Jason Blevin, safe travels, buddy.
Thanks, DK.
Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. 4 years after the pandemic, a growing number of businesses appear to be allowing employees not just to work remotely, but outside of Colorado. The trend showed up in state workers' compensation insurance data, where the number of local businesses providing coverage to employees out of state has nearly tripled in the past 15 years. In 2009, 21% of workers' comp policies held by businesses in Colorado covered multiple states. In 2019, before the pandemic, it was 44%. Now, according to the Colorado Division of Workers' Comp Insurance and other sources, it's nearly 54%. A stretch of Highway 50 in central Colorado is closed indefinitely after road crews found a crack in a steel beam that's part of a bridge over Blue Mesa Reservoir west of Gunnison. The 3 to 4 inch crack was found after an inspection by highway officials, and because of the remote area, detours are more than 300 miles and at least 6 hours. Officials said they don't know when the bridge will reopen, and they are clearing some county roads of snow earlier than usual to provide routes for emergency vehicles and local residents. The new Buck the Trend workshop is one of the latest ideas to address an alarming rise in the suicide rate in agriculture communities. There are also new grants for rural counties and at least 2 pieces of legislation at the state capitol this session focusing on the problem. Nationally, the suicide rate for people in the ag industry is 3.5 times higher than other professions. There were 102 suicides from 2018 to 2022 among people whose careers are in agriculture. Officials say the problems include the isolation and the cowboy-up mentality that talking about feelings or asking for help is weak. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
I'm Lauren Wynot, Director of Membership at the Colorado Sun. I came to work at the Sun because quality, trustworthy journalism is important. As a reader and listener, I find the Sun to be a breath of fresh air. The journalists tell Colorado stories that keep me informed, entertained, and engaged. If you also trust the Sun for your news, join me as a member at coloradosun.com/join. Your support helps to bring you and other Coloradans the news you deserve. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you.